Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah. Tuesday, January 14th. Inside the 1A hour on The Fan in New York, 1 a.m. hour on The Fan in New York. You know, I just was listening to it, like, your station to talk Giants, and it made me think, like, you know, I was watching the video of the Giants beating the Cowboys from 17 years ago. Armani Toomer scored twice, the interception that happened, Romo folded, and I'm just like, damn, that was so long ago. I watched that in college at James Madison University at this girl's house or her apartment that was from Marlboro, New Jersey. So I pretty much went and watched it with, you know, Giants fans that were down in Virginia going to school at James Madison University. And there's a picture that exists of me in the first half just with a white tee on because I took off my stupid Dallas Cowboys jersey because I knew we were in for it. But I'm like, man, I remember that feeling, that embarrassment, how much pride those Giants fans had around some Commanders fans, which were Redskins fans back then because James Madison is in Northern Virginia, so it's not that far from D.C. The Commanders were, or the Redskins back then were eliminated. But I remember how prideful the Giants fans from New Jersey were winning that game and many of them proclaiming in 07, oh, we're winning it all. We're going on a run. We're winning the Super Bowl. And me being sick, 888-808-1019, and just being like, wow. I think the Cowboys had won like 13 games that regular season, and it doesn't matter. The regular season doesn't matter. As I'm looking at Sam Darnold, who's now meeting the media, and he just said, it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. We all know it's about the playoffs. Like, having a great regular season doesn't matter. It's about what you do in the playoffs. And Sam Darnold knows he's done. And he knows that this is now in the history of these Vikings fans that have no Super Bowls and they just have heartbreak. So as a Giants fan, how do you feel, Giants fans? Call 888-808-1019. I know you're miserable about the last 10 years, but at least the years that you did go to the playoffs in recent memory, I guess it's starting to fade now. I'm talking about 17 years and 2011 now. It's starting to be a long time ago. But what I'm saying is, how do you feel as a fan that at least you had those runs? Like, I don't remember those runs. I picked the Dallas Cowboys when I was a baby. I was literally an elementary school kid. I barely knew how to use the bathroom right. Like, I wasn't making life decisions. That life decision I was allowed to make, but like, how do you feel knowing that you had those runs to Super Bowls? Some of you can still remember where you were. Like, I can remember where I was watching it 17 years ago. And now that it seems like you've fallen from grace, it seems like you don't know if this GM head coach, this owner, is going to be able to get you back to having a team. It's like, even looking at those Giants teams, I'm like, oh, they had a bunch of dogs. They had a bunch of good players. Like, they had a bunch of players on that Giants team where it was like, yeah, even though they're a wild card, they had guys that could get it done. They had guys that could go out there and win the game and knock off a Dallas Cowboys team with 13 wins or whatever it is. You know, when you go up and down, like, you know, at least for the Cowboys, it's like they're pretty competitive every year. And I think most Dallas Cowboys know they're going to be one and done in the playoffs. That's their MO. Would you rather not make the playoffs? Right? Like, let's do this exercise. Let's talk about the losers, the teams that lost this week. Like, starting with the Commanders, or the, not the Commanders, the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh comes in and completely changes that program around. And they win 11 games. And they were the favorite in the game. They were a 2.5-point favorite. So much so, Rex Ryan gives the Texans billboard material where Joe Mixon is going live, right? Joe Mixon was the one they asked. They said, Rex Ryan said that it's a bye week for the Chargers playing the Texans. And Mixon said, all I can do is go out there and let my helmet and shoulder pads do the talking. He had 25 carries, 106 yards, one touchdown. He put the ball on the carpet, but he bounced back and helped them close that game. He talked about how this team reminds him of the Bengals team he was on, right? C.J. Stroud in his second year. I believe Burrow was in his second year back then. And they had a dominant wide receiver. You know, they had him in the backfield. And they went on a run all the way to the Super Bowl. He feels like the Texans can do that. If they beat the Chiefs, then maybe. I don't see it. But, you know, talking about the Chargers losing that game to them, that game changed after that snap went past C.J. Stroud. And he improvised and just made a play, made something happen. But they're settling for field goals. They didn't even get in the end zone. You know who they got to cut? Not now, but right now, Quentin Johnson. Terrible. And I hate to say that about a player that's in his second year, but he is so bad. You want to talk about MO? His MO is dropping the damn ball. 5 targets, 0 catches. He can't catch a lick. He can't catch a cold. He can't catch a cab. He's so bad to be a number one pick, a first round guy, and then you get Ladd McConkey coming in this year, 9 catches, 197 yards. He actually had a touchdown. They did. I'm looking at the box score. They missed that extra point. How stupid was that? That extra point turned into points for the Texans. But yeah, the Chargers, how disappointed are they? Riding high with Harbaugh. And all the talk about the last time Harbaugh was in NRG Stadium, he won the championship with the Michigan Wolverines. Like, that's pain for their fans. Their fans had to watch him leave San Diego, go to L.A. But you know what I thought, too, this weekend? Coming back to, you know, Giants and Jets fans who share a stadium. Two teams that represent the whole tri-state area. We can't be proud of either one of them. I mean, these teams haven't even been playing in SoFi a decade, and they've got two playoff teams, the Chargers and the Rams. And the Rams went and got a win, you know? We can't be proud of the Jets and Giants. When's the last time the Jets and the Giants both made the playoffs? It's been a long time, man. Gotta get right. And I don't know when the Giants get right with this GM and head coach. I have no faith in them. And I also have no faith in Woody Johnson hiring the right GM and head coach for the Jets. It might be a long time. Let's go to Nick in Huntington, New York. What's up, Nick? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Big Cowboy fan. I've called you before. I hope they go after Deion. I'd like to see Deion. At least Deion. Instant respect. Instant respect in the room.
Respect so. For him, yes, as a player and what he's done. But he 5 years ago, he was coaching high school. Like
I know. Well, what else are we going to do? I mean, really? Did you think Mike would even walk? I didn't think Mike was going to walk.
No, that's Jerry's fault.
Like, I know, absolutely.
Jerry just missed a whole week of interviewing candidates. He doesn't get to interview the candidates from the Chiefs or from the Lions like Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn because they did all their interviews during their bye. You can't talk to them now.
100% agreement with you about Jerry. But you opened up with as far as memories and rooting for teams. I'm a Cowboy fan. I'm 53 years old. I went to the second Super Bowl in Atlanta. I want my team to win. My cousin is an Islander fan, too. He says it best. They won 4 cups in a row. He witnessed it. What more can your team do for you as a fan?
Understood.
I'm serious. And that goes, look, you can take the memory 17, 20 years. I'll take those 3 out of 4 years to my grave.
Yeah.
Yankee fans with Jeter. I'm not a Yankee fan, but Jeter, Yankee fans my age, they grew up with Munson's Yankees and Reggie's Yankees and then the Jeter Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
What more as a fan can you do? That's why if people rip on the Cowboys, you know, and I ask them, well, who do you root for? Unless you're a 49er fan or a Patriot fan, you really can't say nothing to us.
I mean, 49ers you know, fans can't say anything to Dallas Cowboys fans?
Steelers, Patriots,
they've gone to the Super Bowl to lose. Sixburg, yes, I'll give you that because they have 6 trophies. Patriots, I'll give you them as well. The Cowboys are still holding F5. And the 49ers.
I mean, as a Celtic fan, you grow up as a Celtic fan. What more? If you're a 65, 70-year-old Celtic fan.
Yeah, the Celtics.
What more? But like you said, as a fandism, if your team has done you that justice, and I'm sorry you're a Cowboy fan and you didn't really see it, but I saw it. And those memories, 17, 170 years, it doesn't matter. It doesn't take away those memories and the way that the franchise has made you as a fan and how you feel as a fan and the love for that team. The Cowboys, I love the triplets. They could never, ever, ever do me. You know, you want to bring anybody else to do it. When another Cowboy team does what those guys did, then that's fine. And if they win the Super Bowl, that's fine. But as a fan, as a Cowboy fan, or an Islander fan, a Yankee fan, if your team has been that good and you lived through that, those memories never go away, Keith. And that's what makes you a really diehard fan. Yeah. And that's why, you know, look, poor Knicks fans, they haven't won. The Jet fans haven't won. At least the Giants got, you know, they beat Brady twice. But, I mean, as a Cowboy fan, as a team that's won and you've seen it as a kid and you grew up with it, those memories don't go away, Keith, man. I love you. Have a good night. Hopefully Great Jerry call. Does something smart, finally.
Thanks for the call, Nick. Great call. Yeah, it takes time. I know I'm still young in that regard. Like, the first Super Bowl that I watched, I don't remember. I know that the, you know, Cowboys beat the Bills and they beat the brakes off them. And I have fuzzy memories of that being exciting. I have fuzzy memories of that being a big Super Bowl. I do faintly remember Super Bowl 30. And I know I watched it at my dad's house. My parents were separated. So, like, not watching it in the house that I watched most of the other games, that stood out. I always was a Troy Aikman guy. Even in Pop Warner high school, I wore number 8 for Troy Aikman. And I remember wearing my Aikman jersey. I remember we had a jelly bean contest in Mrs. Weldon's second grade class where whoever guessed the closest to the score of the game won the jelly beans. And in second grade, I was smarter than some of the other kids. I could at least put, like, football scores together. I don't think I hit it exactly, but, like, I knew not to say something stupid like 37-16. Like, I knew that wasn't going to be the score. So I won. So I got to peacock around with my Cowboys gear and won the jelly beans for having the closest score. And, you know, that going to recess, everybody was a Jets, Giants, Cowboys, or 49ers fan. That was it in the 90s. Your mom or dad made you a Jets-Giants fan locally where I grew up, or you were allowed to watch TV in the early 90s, mid-90s, late 90s, and pick your team and pick the 49ers with Steve Young or the Dallas Cowboys with Troy Aikman. But man, that was a long time ago. It's a long-ass time. It was like 30 years ago. So my memories of Dallas, like, I was, you know, rattling off Romo fumbling the snap against the Seahawks, or, you know, laughing about Aaron Rodgers getting us twice, Dez caught it, and Jared Cook being open down the sideline, or losing to the 49ers. I don't know what kind of play they're trying to run with Zeke snapping the ball, running out of time. Packers beating them again last year. Like, those memories are fresh. Like, the Dallas Cowboys folding with those memories are fresh. And for, you know, like, Giants fans, your memories are fresh. Like, not having a quarterback, right? Since Eli was, you know, getting old and it was over and they benched Eli, and then you got to bring in Daniel Jones and you use a pick on Daniel Jones. Like, now the Daniel Jones era is over. Like, you need a quarterback. That's the next way. That's the next era. That's the next good memories. I feel bad for the younger kids. Like, their young kids didn't see any of it. When I meet younger kids that are Cowboys fans that never saw one Super Bowl, I'm like, oh, that's pain. That's pain. You cannot recall. You cannot recant. And so much of being a fan is how a team makes you feel. Like Nick was just saying, I'll take those memories to my grave. Like, yeah. And especially when you're old enough to, like, go see your team win a championship. Like, I went to the World Series this year. I knew they were cooked. But, man, those days leading up to the World Series with the Yankees were special. Just imagining a parade, just imagining how they would beat the Dodgers. It was far-fetched, yeah. Of course, the Yankees pissed down their legs, yeah. But man, just the days leading up of buying merch, just the days leading up, just talking about it, we're back. Thinking about all the years that they came up short in the CS, the DS, the wild card. They got back. I mean, just the night of Juan Soto hitting that home run and watching them celebrate. I watch everybody celebrate. I watch college football playoff. I watch Ohio State get their trophy. Jack Sawyer go up there and talk. I love that. You know, just watching Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner go up there and accept the American League pennant. I was emotional that night. My wife was like, you take this stuff so serious. I'm like, it's not that I take it so serious. This is my life, yo. What do you mean? It's not serious. It's not serious or life, as life or death. But, like, you know how many seasons of the Yankees I watched where they didn't make it to the World Series? A lot. So, of course, I feel some type of way now that, like, they did it. 888-808-1019. It's crazy what sports do to you. It's a cult thing. It's a religion type of thing. It's a fandom type of thing. It becomes so much of your personality. And when I say the NFL is king and we love football, you know, I started to think, all right, we're sitting on the outside. Jets fans, Giants fans, Dallas fans, Seahawks fans, Bengals fans. That's another thing I had in my notes, too. I was seeing a lot of chatter from Bengals fans. There's a thread about, like, yo, the Bengals and Joe Burrow should be in the playoffs. The Broncos and Chargers weren't ready to play. Both of the teams got blown out. I think ML Football had the post about it would have been fun to see Joe Burrow. It doesn't matter what would have been fun. The seeding is the seeding. They lost to the Patriots week one. They came up short. It doesn't matter what would have been fun, right? Bo Nix earned it. Justin Herbert earned it. They folded in the playoffs, yeah, but like their fan base is Broncos fans. They have Super Bowls. And now they have their franchise quarterback and their coach. They'll be better. They'll be back with that defense. It gives you hope. What we need is hope. We need the Giants to get their quarterback. We need the Jets to get their head coach quarterback, or their GM head coach and quarterback. It seems like it's so far away. 888-808-1019. It sucks because as much as we love football, as much as the NFL is king, you want to be a part of it, man. And you want to be the Commanders fans, right? The Commanders fans go from Dan Snyder and terrible allegations about the work culture and what was going on there. They force him out. They make him sell the team. Like, I'm looking at Magic Johnson. I'm jealous of Magic Johnson. I'm like, what type of voodoo magic does Magic Johnson have? He's a part owner of the Dodgers. He's a part owner of the Commanders. He obviously won championships of his own. He beat HIV/AIDS. Like, what a life Magic Johnson lives. He's got some type of spell, some type of literal magic to be involved with this many things. I know he's rich as hell. He had the movie theaters. He's invested in so many different things. I'm like, wow. And when you see him, he's larger than life, as tall as he is. And they got Magic Johnson coming out there dapping up Terry McLaurin. They got Josh Harris and Magic Johnson together talking about, you know, talent, culture, and people. You know, they just got there with this team, telling the rest of the league how they did it. Telling the rest of the league what they did, how they put together this team. Much of it is Jaden Daniels. But obviously Dan Quinn, and then they go add pieces like an Austin Eckler, Bobby Wagner, who I mentioned. And they're able to win. They're able to go knock off the Buccaneers. They got the right draw. The Buccaneers who play in the South and the Buccaneers who didn't play that great against New Orleans, they put something on tape in Week 18. They were able to get got. But yeah, man, I'm envious of these teams that figure it out with the ownership, with the GM. They have a new GM over there too in Washington. Ownership, GM, head coach, and quarterback. And for Giants fans, like if you think like you're in trouble with Shane Daboll and not having your quarterback, like the Commanders aren't going anywhere with Jaden Daniels. You watch this kid play. You watch how like poised he is, how calm he is as a rookie. He's just going to get better. And they're just going to get better players around him. They'll get him a better run game. Like the stats from, bro, I got to pull up the stats from last night from that game. Because I fell asleep at the end of it. Just like whatever. I knew the Commanders were going to win. And I was popped. all my bets had, you know, had X marks on them anyway. But Jaden Daniels goes out there, 24 of 35, two touchdowns, no interceptions, 110 passer rating, and he leads them in rushing with 36 yards. That's why I said, yeah, no run game. He spreads the ball around, seven different receivers. He was getting De'Ami Brown going. And how good is Terry McLaurin? I saw a stat about Terry McLaurin in tight windows and him making catches, making plays. Marshawn Lattimore, all that talk about Marshawn Lattimore coming back to face Mike Evans. Mike Evans did his thing a little bit, seven catches, 92 yards and a TD. But just having an alpha like Marshawn Lattimore out there helps. Made seven tackles. And he was out for weeks with that hamstring. They traded for him. Like, that's another thing, too. They traded for him. They had a need. They needed a corner. They had Emmanuel Forbes out there. They recognized the need. They had a GM that went out there and got one of the best corners in the league for a team that won 12 games this year and now won a playoff game. Stupid name. Terrible name, the Commanders. Washington Commanders. And the logo sucks, too. All the great graphic designers out there, they just make a logo that looks like a origami W. It looks like an origami dragon, that stupid logo. I know Commanders fans got to be sick. They want to bring the Redskins back. Now they're good again. They're like, why can't we just be the Redskins? Why can't we just go back to being the Redskins? Nope. Don't want to offend anybody. But there were actual people that came out, some Native American people and some other people. I don't know exactly. But they were like, this was something that was celebrating the Chief. I gotta do some Googles on that. I'll do that during the break. But I remember reading something about, like, now the actual logo of the Redskins was celebrating that specific chief and his history or whatever. You know, people weren't really upset about it, but I don't know. That's what happens. I know they got Chief Wahoo up out of here with the Cleveland Guardians. What is a guardian? What is a commander? 888-808-1019. As I'm looking at the losers, the Packers, right? The Packers and Commanders, they're questioning the quarterbacks that they paid. They are questioning, why do we pay these guys? Four interceptions from Justin Herbert. Three interceptions from Jordan Love. Gave them the bag. And thought, right? And they're still going to be good players. But as much as I'm talking about finding the quarterback, finding the head coach, finding the GM, you thought you had the guy. And then when he gets in the game, the big game, he's not the guy. Like, that's another reason why they're calling Jaden Daniels the best rookie quarterback. His first playoff game, he plays like that. Incredible. Tankathon.com last year had him next to a Giants logo for weeks. Could you imagine? It might not be a playoff team. Wouldn't have Malik Nabers. How about that? Malik Nabers going down to Tampa with Brian Thomas Jr. to watch, you know, last year, his LSU buddy, go win a game. He's a division rival of the Commanders. Don't matter. Wasn't wearing any Giants team-issued merch. He's there supporting his boy. Talking about roll them fives out when five goes out there and gets a win. Okay, here's the thing I had. Star QBs struggle in the playoffs. Justin Herbert, a 40.9 passer rating. Jordan Love, a 40.15 passer rating. Fourth worst in a playoff game since 2015 for Herbert. Sixth worst in a playoff game since 2015 for Jordan Love. Those guys are $50 million a year quarterbacks. And they just put together two of the worst showings in the last 10, 15 years. They're quarterbacks that make much less. Let's pull up their contracts. It's just a price you pay. You draft a guy where you draft him. Justin Herbert signed a five-year, $262 million contract to go out there and stink up the place like that. Crazy. Crazy. Jordan Love, 4 years, $220 million. Nuts. They're good quarterbacks. They can get you some wins. But that's what people were saying about Sam Darnold tonight, too. How much are you going to pay Sam Darnold? $40 million, $45 million, $50 million? He just showed you what he did in the big game. Jets fans are laughing tonight saying, ha, that's the Sam Darnold I know. Still seeing ghosts. Told you he wasn't all that. Told you he didn't turn into that. You know, Kevin O'Connell was able to manufacture some. Those guys might love him. He folded. Well, their offensive line folded. It's tough, man. Figuring out that quarterback position, figuring out the head coach, figuring out the GM. It is the only way. And you need defense, too. 888-808-1019. The Giants are a ways away. I think they obviously had a good draft class, and they have some guys that they can feel good about. But I don't know how good you feel about this head coach, and especially with the movement of coaches and coaches still being fired, right? Mike McCarthy, he lasted a week. I think that's really because his contract expired today, January 14th. Jerry Jones gave him the runaround. They blocked this man from seeking another job opportunity and then terminated him the day before his contract. And they're like, yeah, whatever, good luck. And I don't know who they're going to hire. If they hire Deion Sanders, that's a shame. Because Deion Sanders doesn't have anywhere near the amount of head coaching experience. But that's something they would do. That's something that Jerry Jones would do. The Jets have interviewed everybody under the sun. I don't think they have any idea what they're looking for. They have no idea what they specifically want in the next coach or GM. So they're just going to keep talking to guys and kind of let the chips fall where they may. I think they're just going to see who takes jobs where, who gets scooped up, who gets claimed, what coaches get knocked out of the playoffs and end up, you know, making moves. It's not going to be Mike McCarthy. It's not going to be Mike Tomlin. But the Jets will have to hire a GM, and I think the order of operations should be to hire the GM and then hire the head coach. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We got a break here. But when we come back, I'll sprinkle in the little bit of baseball I have just so I'm kind of putting a buffer between the football conversation with myself and C-Mac. I don't know what C-Mac's going to lead with, but maybe he's going to lead with the Vikings-Rams game from tonight. And maybe comment on some football. I know he was on last night to hit on that stuff. Maybe he'll talk baseball too. But I want you to hear what Nick Castellanos had to say about the Mets. I'll speak on Dom Smith, Roky Sasaki, and Pete Alonso as well. If you'd like to get a word in on my show, again, it's 888-808-1019. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Jersey, a little Naughty by Nature on the Fan. Yeah, when this song came out, I was way too young to know what they were talking about. And then as I came of age, I was like, oh, OPP. Anyway, 888-808-1019, my last run here. And I'll take your football calls, but I do want to sprinkle in a little bit of baseball conversation. Why not? We're getting close. And I'm literally counting down the days as I'm watching these wild card football games and my team isn't in it and the local teams aren't in it and I'm just like not winning any money or the little bit of money I won I gave back. I'm like, whatever, man. I'm like, I'd rather watch an ump call a game and blow the calls behind the plate than watch, you know, this umpire crew miss all the calls. People complain about, you know, what they're getting from the NFL, but the NFL is king. I don't think I ever complain about the postseason in baseball. This past postseason was great. And speaking of this past postseason, one Nick Castellanos probably wishes he had a better postseason. As you can recall, his Philadelphia Phillies lost to the Mets in the NLDS, one for the ages around here in New York. And Nick Castellanos today joined Chris Rose. Shout out to Chris Rose. Chris Rose, the one time I got to even like be around Chris Rose was the 2021 All-Star Game in Colorado. Yep. Because Chris Rose works with John Boy Media. So when I was working with John Boy Media, I got to meet Chris Rose. He was super humble, gave me some advice. We like sat down and ate lunch together, just like, you know, like a sandwich lunch and like a one of those white styrofoam boxes just sitting at a baseball field. He was mad cool. And I Got to tell him about how much I love him on NFL Network and how much I appreciate that he does NFL and MLB. I'd like to be somebody that can do both one day, and he gave me good advice. So fast forward, you know, later that year, or maybe it was earlier that year. I don't even remember. Time is a blur now. I remember making his accounts under John Boy. I'm pretty sure I made the at Chris Rose Sports, you know, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram as like an onboarding thing, bringing him in. And they've grown, and he does his thing from, he does his thing from home, but he is Chris Rose, so he always has these players on. And he has this show called the Chris Rose Rotation where he brings different players on. And he brought Nick Castellanos on, and Nick Castellanos talked about the Mets in a way that I hadn't heard. I've been saying that, you know, Francisco Lindor should have been National League MVP. He had another Met in mind. Let's play Chris Rose Rotation with Nick Castellanos as the guest on it.
Jose Iglesias ended up on the Mets and had a phenomenal year.
MVP of the National League.
Why?
If you're looking at like the MVP as having the most weight on creating wins for your team, there's no other player that has had that much weight as Jose Iglesias. Because I think with him being able to come in and bring that Latin spark, knock the ice off of Lindor, finally got Vientos probably comfortable to be able to be an everyday third baseman. And now a bunch of guys that look like they had no direction running in all different directions in the beginning of the year, they made the playoffs, got to where they did, while the whole Mets organization had the OMG signs were everywhere from in the city to the stadium. The way I look at baseball, Jose Iglesias is unanimous National League MVP.
Come on. I mean, listen, Shohei went 50-50. You're saying that Jose Iglesias meant more to a team with his galvanizing and his number one pop song because he was able to turn around a franchise for a year?
Yes.
That's not going to work with the sabermetricians, I'm just telling you.
I'm not a sabermetrician. I'm a baseball player. I'm saying that him going to the Mets and being himself got the organization to move in one direction. Shohei Ohtani played a huge part in the Dodgers winning. I don't know if he's the sole purpose of the Dodgers moving in one direction. That doesn't mean that what Shohei did isn't record book worthy and he's not an amazing baseball player. If I'm starting a team, I pick Shohei over Jose. There's no doubt about it. I'm not stupid. But the way that I saw baseball last year through my eyeballs, Jose Iglesias is the National League MVP.
Man, I love that take, right? It isn't just about, 50-50, right? Because, like, that's what I was saying all last year. Like, okay, we know who Ohtani is. And Ohtani isn't pitching. So he's going to affect the game hitting bombs and stealing bases. Okay, great. But we're talking about the most valuable player. The Dodgers were good without him. The Dodgers won World Series without him. He pulled to KD. Can't beat him, join him. He went to the crosstown rival before Juan Soto. What Jose Iglesias meant to the Mets last year, they could make a 30 for 30 on it. They could make a movie about it. And if the Mets don't bring him back and it's 1 year of OMG and that, you know, is all she wrote for that, like, I think as years go on, you're going to understand that, like, he was super valuable to the team. I'll never forget when they had like a brunch and all the Mets players were together and it was an off day. And they showed for the first time him coming out. I had no idea about Candelita, his alter ego, his career as a singer. I had no idea about it. I almost thought it was a joke. I remember making jokes about Darren Waller's rap career and trying to like liken those two together. They're not close at all. But I remember watching that video how the like team genuinely embraces dude who is a journeyman, a backup, was in the minors, got called up, and I'm like, oh, there's something about like this is like a theme song. This is something they rally, or this is a rally cry. They should sign him before they sign Pete Alonso. They got rival players saying he's the MVP. They got rival players saying, hey, this guy changed that team. Got them to really, you know, have an identity. I thought it was Grimace. I thought it was all about the purple Grimace first pitch. 888-808-1019. I thought that was cool from Nick Castellanos. Another opportunity for me to flex my degrees of separation. when I was in the fan cave in 2014 and the Tigers came to town to face the Yankees, I always used to get up and go to Blink Fitness, which was above the fan cave or in the same building, 692 Broadway, the old Tower Records. And that day, I happened to be the only one of the fan cave dwellers, they called us, that was awake. And Nick Cassiano's whole family was in town and they wanted to tour the fan cave. So I got to meet him, his brother. I got to meet all the Cassiano's clan and give them a tour of the fan cave. That was back when he was playing for the Tigers and he was younger in his career. 888-808-1019. Let's get these baseball conversations in before my time expires. I'll speak on Dom Smith and Roky Sasaki as well, but Ryan is in Sterling. Ryan, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, thanks for calling.
So, I just wanted to talk about Cashman. He needs to really, step up and do something. I know he's trying to get rid of Marcus Stroman's contract first before he makes any moves, but nobody wants him. It's not going to be easy to get rid of him, and we're passing up on guys like Luis Arraez. I mean, Kyle Tucker would have been an easy replacement that is honestly someone that we need if we want to win the World Series. Getting to the World Series is great, but we're clearly not better than multiple teams in the National League. And, we can't be letting guys go. I think Bregman needs to be the next step.
Thanks for the call, Ryan, but I disagree with all of that. And I'll be as nice about it as I can. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to mock you, degrade you. But, they've been out on Luis Arraez. It never was a thing. And I understand why. The philosophy change that the Yankees are under right now, post Juan Soto, he doesn't fit. And as much as I said, yeah, we need a leadoff hitter. Yeah, the guy bats 330. Yeah, he had a down year last year, but he'd be great in front of Judge. We need somebody in front of Judge. They're not going to give up prospects. They're not going to give up anything. It takes two to tango to make a trade, which leads me into my next thing, right? Kyle Tucker. I knew Kyle Tucker was never going to be a Yankee this year. Cubs already fumbled his arbitration, so he's going to be one and done there. He could be playing left field for the Yankees next year. But I knew that he wasn't going to be a Yankee because I knew the Yankees couldn't trade with the Astros. A deal wasn't going to get done. They were going to try and fleece us, and Cashman doesn't get fleeced. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, when you lose Juan Soto and you're reeling from that, and there were people getting on the fan talking about Kyle Tucker as if he was just as good or better than Juan Soto. I'm like, yo, people are losing it. They cannot deal with Juan Soto going from the Yankees to the Mets. Now all of a sudden, Kyle Tucker, I'm like, Kyle Tucker might be a top 20 player in baseball. Juan Soto is top five. Depending on who you ask, top three. 888-808-1019. So, Luis Arraez, no. Kyle Tucker, no. Those are trades, and I understand them not making them and them not happening. And Kyle Tucker, like I said, the Cubs getting him made sense. They could do a deal with the Astros. No bad blood there. No history there. No Cashman calling out their organization whenever he can. And who'd you say last? Alex Bregman, huh? Right back to the Houston Astros. Alex Bregman could still be had by anybody in Major League Baseball. Alex Bregman has World Series rings, two of them. Alex Bregman's been six straight ALCSs, right? He's postseason proven. How come nobody signed him yet? How come nobody jumped at that opportunity to get another one of Boris's coveted clients? I'm sure a lot of people could use him at the hot corner. I'm sure a lot of people could use his bat, his leadership, his postseason experience being a champion. How come nobody else signed him? The Yankees aren't signing him. And I don't want them to sign him. Not at his age, not for the price. He's looking for $200 million. He turned down like $160 million from Houston, which to me, I'm like, why would you do that? Go back with your boy, Ohtani. You two can be in the Lollipop Guild and do what you got to do over there. Like, the Yankees are not signing Alex Bregman. You remember when Bellinger was quoted, talking about they weren't punished and Altuve stole an MVP from Judge. They're not about to give him a $200 million bag at age 30. He's looking for a 7-8 year contract. They're not about to do that. And they're not about to add him to this clubhouse. They're just not. So, on a Luis Arraez trade, on a Kyle Tucker trade that can't happen because he was already traded, on them signing Alex Bregman. Nolan Arenado is still floating out there. I don't think it gets done. Who else for third base were they talking about? It doesn't matter. The Yankees are going to probably bring in Marwin Gonzalez type, some type of journeyman, somebody they can sign to come in and, you know, on a minor league deal and compete, like a Dom Smith. So I was going to mention Dom Smith. People reacting to Dom Smith today. Dom Smith is cooked. Dom Smith didn't do anything for me. Shout out to my guy, Ray Negron. Ray had that on Friday. I don't care that Dom Smith is on the Yankees. But I understand Mets fans for Yankees. Let's go Yankee Mets. LGYM. More crossover there. If he even ends up on the Yankees. He hit .233 across 93 games in 2020. Good for Dom Smith. I'm rooting for you, brother. Left-handed bat, come hit. Maybe we could use you. But I don't want to have to use you. You can't play third base. And we got Paul Goldschmidt. And we got Ben Rice. And we got DJ LeMahieu. So, like, if Dom Smith is playing first base or DHing, that means Stanton is hurt or one of those other guys I just mentioned are hurt. No. And last but not least, Roky Sasaki. I'm glad that we had the Roky Sasaki conversation to fill airtime last week when it was rumored that, hey, you know, this guy's favorite player was Masahiro Tanaka. You know, this guy's still keeping the Yankees in the running. It's between the Yankees and the Padres. And then the Padres had turmoil with their ownership, and it led me to believe, hey, don't get me hype, man. Could we add Roky Sasaki, trade Stroman, maybe even trade Schmidt? Who knows? He was never coming to the East. He's going to go out West. And I say Dodgers because they get everybody, but I don't think he wants to be a Dodger. Too much media between the Ohtani brigade that follows him around and just the LA media. He's got Padres written all over him, and I thought that was the case early on. If you listen to me some many nights ago during the winter meetings talk about Joel Wolf saying that this guy doesn't want to be in a big media market area. He doesn't want loud personalities around him. I'm like, okay, Padres. And there is a video floating around. Shout out to MaddoxDJ64 on Twitter. He sent me a video of Roky Sasaki in Petco Park wearing a brown shirt and yellow shorts, team-issued gear from the Padres. He looks like he's throwing a little bullpen session for them. And the video looks like it's coming from one of those apartments or something that are above Petco Park. Or maybe it's from the press box. I don't know. But it's like it's very high and you can't really make it out. Either way, whatever. Who cares, yo? Would it have been nice to get Roky Sasaki? A pleasant surprise, sure. But he's not a part of this offseason for the Yankees. If he goes to Padres, he goes to Padres. And you mentioned something about the National League teams. I can't give a flying F about the National League. Just like I don't care about the Dodgers. I don't care about the Mets. I don't care about the Phillies, the Braves, the Padres, the Brewers, whatever. Because we don't have to worry about them until the Fall Classic if we get there. 888-808-1019. It's not a guarantee that the Yankees go back to the World Series. I'm not wasting my days like, oh, the Yankees wouldn't be a top five team in the National League. Oh, well, lucky me, they're not in the National League. I don't care. I don't care about our roster not matching up to the now, because we got to beat one National League team in one series. And it's not guaranteed to be any of those teams I listed. It could be the Diamondbacks. Just got to beat them. Got to beat them 4 games out of 7. If the Yankees are able to get back to the World Series with this team that I do think is better than the team they had last year. Tough to say they're better without Juan Soto, but like when you go to Yankee Stadium this year, you're going to see them run out a bunch of different guys, and the Yankees don't have names on their backs for a reason. They're supposed to be that famous. Yeah, all these guys that they're bringing in are known players. You're going to see them run out a bunch of different guys where you should be fired up about the team. We lost a guy that didn't care to be on the team, didn't care about his teammates, didn't care about the legacy of the team, didn't care about the history of the team, what it meant to be on that team. I'm excited to see Paul Goldschmidt. I'm excited to see Cody Bellinger. I'm excited to see Max Fried. I'm excited to see Devin Williams. Fernando Cruz, Jonathan Loaisiga. Jonathan Loaisiga I've seen. I forget the catcher they got from the Reds. Who cares? Play Austin Wells every day. And let him grow out his, like, 5 o'clock shadow a little bit. Saw him during the Notre Dame game. I'm like, that guy's a beer guy. I know we'll never change the shaving apology. It's what George would want. It's what the boss would want. All right, man, I'm out of here. I'm about to go home. Sleep for a couple hours so the boy wakes up. And then I'll be back tomorrow. Early show, like 6:30. We'll talk quickly. Thanks for listening to my show. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'm out of here. C-Max coming up next.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.